quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories at the Katsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Happy first episode of Typically Tuesdays of 2025. I'm going to get right into it. I'm so excited for today's episode because I'm going to be talking about GFriend. GFriend, to make it very short, is like one of probably in my top three of K-pop idol girl groups, probably of all time. I'm going to be talking about them today because they just got back together for a 10-year anniversary single that they released last week. And I'm going to be taking you through some of their discography today through like a storied playlist. I'm going to be talking a little bit also about K-pop fandom and production, the way that I've seen it change the past decade or so, with particular regards to GFriend and like girl groups and stuff. We shall not waste another minute. We're gonna get right into it. I love GFriend's music because it can feel so intensely emotional at times through their beautiful melodies. They have really strong vocals, and when you watch them dance, it's like watching the gears of a machine work. It's very cool. So on today's playlist, I'm going to take you through like a story of the seasons with GFriend's music, because I feel like their melodies really evoke feelings of, you know, of the seasons of a year. We're going to start off today's playlist with the song that like really put them on the map for their choreography and their powerful vocals. This is a song I think for a lonely mid-winter. It's rough, and it's right here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. Enjoy.
Bird Note.
When writer Amy Tan started journaling about nature, she wasn't trying to write another bestseller. It was 2016, and she was searching for an escape from the overt racism she felt was being directed toward her and other Asian Americans.
That was never meant to be anything more than a place for me to put my questions down and my observations. It wasn't until my editor said we should publish it that it became a book.
As she spent more time in nature, she started to fall in love with birds.
The type of love I feel for them is so special because I don't experience it with any human being or other wildlife. And it's the very fact that it is wild and it doesn't fly off in my presence. And they look at me and continue to do what they're doing. It's a feeling of acceptance.
Since publishing her Backyard Bird Chronicles, which is a New York Times bestseller, by the way, Amy says people come up to her and tell her stories about their backyard birds.
I'm heartened also because once people love birds, they think they're much more interested in saving birds. That makes me feel really, really good to know how many people love birds.
For Bird Note, I'm Jonice Franklin.
Thank you.
Back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Leslie, and you just heard G-Friend with Hear the Wind Sing. Before that, you heard Gone with the Wind, also by G-Friend, because we're doing a story little G-Friend-centric playlist. I'm taking you through the seasons with G-Friend. You know, Gone with the Wind is kind of like, I think, when spring is about to come, you know, things... You know, you're kind of like shaking out of your winter funk, I guess. And Hear the Wind Sing is really about the blooming of the flowers and the return of the animals from hibernation. It's a very, I feel like that is a song that's so full of life. I love G-Friend's music and I love this group. And G-Friend is this 6-member K-pop idol girl group that debuted in 2015 on January 15th. And they disbanded a few years ago. I had been following them, I think, maybe since summer 2016, up until they stopped performing as the full 6-person group. But last week, they released a 10-year anniversary single, which is why I'm doing today's episode. And I have been very much anticipating the creation of this episode and doing this episode today, because I love this group so much. They were the K-pop group that brought me back into K-pop fandom after I was kind of done with listening to K-pop and stuff. When I was a teenager, and what a group to follow. I feel like a lot of K-pop girl group acts have not exactly lived up to my expectations, probably because I've loved G-Friend for so long, and there are a lot of reasons why I love this group. And there was a lot of reasons why I think, like, critics were kind of, like, into this group as well. You know, 10 years ago in the K-pop industry, it wasn't really as heard of for small companies to be able to create groups that would become kind of, like, overnight successes. G-Friend was pretty popular, I think, in the first year after they debuted, but they were created by a smaller company. By the time they had been active for a year, they went viral for this appearance that they did on a variety show in which they were challenged to perform their song Rough in 2 times the speed. So they had to do the choreography 2 times faster than they normally do. And they cleared it with, like, basically no issues. It showed, I think, audiences that this group was really, really hardworking. And it also showed critics as well that this was a group that had performers that had, yeah, some kind of, like, technical mindset when it came to choreography. And I think to some extent the inaccessibility of G-Friend's choreography, especially at the time, makes that praise so much more interesting, because nowadays what it is for idol groups and pop stars in general is that if they're going to do a choreography, right, there's got to be some point in it that can be accessible for their audience to copy and to, like, do that kind of, like, quote-unquote challenge or something like that and put it online, make the song popular and stuff, right? I think that kind of like marketing production aspect was really popularized by Twice with their song TT, in which their most popular and accessible point of choreography is incredibly, incredibly simple. With GFriend, it really was not like that. GFriend somehow, it's almost as though like their producers challenged their choreographers to create dances that were totally inaccessible for your regular everyday viewer person. And the reason why I say this is when you go online and if you watch like performances of like their song Rough, for example, their song Fingertip, you see that what the choreographers have in mind is like the structure and formation of the six-person group. This dance can't look good and complete without some kind of sequential storytelling aspect of it. It can't look good if only, you know, like one person is having a solo. It's gotta be kind of like a group effort. And I think because of that, because not everybody's doing the same dance move throughout the whole song, because everybody's got to focus on like their part, their piece in the story, it made people like them all that much more when they are able to complete this choreography challenge to do their dance at two times the speed. It made people also more interested, I think, in GFriend because they were doing something really unique by making their choreography really inaccessible for their audiences. And again, I think that's such an interesting thing. Because like, if any group is going to do that these days, they would not be popular. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, you know, talk a little bit about how you become popular in the idol fandoms, I guess, now versus back then when GFriend was just starting out, and throughout kind of like their career, after this music break. So we're going to dip our toes into summer on this storied GFriend playlist. I do have to say, like, GFriend released a lot of songs during the summer for like maybe like 2 or 3 years, I think. At some point, I just like checked out. I did not like a lot of their summer releases. I felt like they were not being themselves. Their producers were, I don't know, they had like kind of lost the vision at some point, lost the vision of what makes GFriend so popular. But I'm excited because later on this hour, you are going to hear one of my very favorite GFriend songs. And you will hear kind of what, like a really big reason why I like them is because of the intensity and the emotionality of their melodies and their vocal performances. And it happens to be a summer GFriend release. But for now, here is Sweetie.
Now Roger.